The Blue Mountains World Heritage Area is a unique natural and cultural landscape, home to an exceptional biodiversity of flora and fauna, as well as indigenous sites and artefacts. But what impact has climate change and urban development projects had on the World Heritage Site? To help answer these questions, we are joined by Associate Professor in Interdisciplinary Environmental Studies at the University of New South Wales and a member of the Board of Directors at the Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute, Dr. John Merson. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
A pleasure.
What does it mean to be a World Heritage Site, and what is involved with maintaining that status?
Well, it's a major matter. Australia is unique in the world in having the largest number of natural World Heritage Areas. However, we also have the dilemma that climate change is having a major impact on all of those areas. Mm. We were very aware of the coral bleaching in the our Great Barrier Reef, as well as the impact of the recent fires on 2019 and 2020. Those fires have had a huge impact on the natural environment, and our problem is that we're likely to see more of these extreme weather events. And we've just seen this massive few years of flooding, before that the fires, before that droughts. So we're seeing extreme weather events. Now, unfortunately, natural systems, wherever in the world, can only operate within a margin of variabilities. And I think we're starting to see how, and our big challenge now is how to manage these environments against that background. So it's a pretty big issue.
Yes, and an estimated 80% of the World Heritage Area in the Blue Mountains was ravaged by the bushfires during the Black Summer, which is absolutely terrible. So it's sort of one of those things that is obviously a cause for concern, and not to mention the fact that the summer bushfires may have caused a rare triple-dip La Nina.
Yes, well, we had these strange effects taking place, which are the unexpected. I mean, all the world's scientists and modellers go only on past precedents, but what we don't know is what's happening and what's the combination of things, such as this effect of the smoke haze on delivering us these three El Niños, or three wet periods, which is unusual. So we are seeing changes, and a lot of it's unpredictable. I think the problem is that we've not, in a sense, when we've created these national park areas, in many cases land which wasn't useful for agriculture but had unique value, and it's only become in the last, say, 50 years that we've really given a high priority to that, we've created a huge number of protected areas and national parks. And the assumption was that you sort of, as states, and these are, of course, state parks, we know we call them national parks, even land management is a state issue in this country. The problem is that we've assumed you just put a fence around it and say, right, it'll look after itself.
Yeah.
What we're now discovering is, hang on, with these impacts like fire and these other extreme events, we have a fiduciary duty to manage those and to protect the key asset, which is the biodiversity. Now, if climate change brings us more regular fires, I mean, that is, it's a fire-dependent ecosystem. Fire is a natural part of this environment. But what we're seeing now with climate change is the risk that the periodicities of these fires will shrink back, not sort of 9-10 years, a major fire with small fires in between, perhaps, but we may be seeing them shifting down to every 5 years or 4 years. In that case, many species, particularly the eucalypts, are unable to regenerate. In other words, they've got to create seeds, a seed base, regrow after the impact of the fires. And there's a worry that we could see a significant diminution of our biodiversity. That's just one example. There are many other species also suffering the impact of this increased intensity of fire, increased frequency. So it's frequency intensity of fires that may be a major issue. And so as states and as countries, we've got to have to put a lot more resources and effort into trying to manage to prevent these impacts. And that's really the challenge.
And it's not just bushfires you've got to worry about. There's a few other things going on as well. There's a proposal there to raise the Warragamba Dam 14 metres to increase its capacity and protect properties in low-lying areas from flooding. There's implications for that?
Yeah, well, look, that's been hosed down and at least under the Labor government, cancelled. I don't think it's a huge expense to achieve a more symbolic value than really addressing the very complex issue of flooding in the the region along the Hawkesbury particularly,
yeah.
or the Hawkesbury and in the Pen. One of the big problems, which we don't seem to bring into account, is that the runoff from the building expansion is also a major factor. I mean, the state governments at various stages have been selling off land, which is essentially in a floodplain. And a lot of the areas where the big building expansion is going on are in fact floodplains. Now, when you concrete over floodplains, you just increase the problem, the runoff.
Yeah.
Now, many of those areas were farming areas. They rained, the water was absorbed into the land, and you didn't get the extent of volume of runoff that we're creating in that area. Also, this runoff coming from a whole raft of other rivers, the Grose and other rivers, which flow from the Blue Mountains into that area. So I think we're dealing with a problem of volume and intensity in terms of rain, as we mentioned before. It's not just fire risk, it's also extreme weather events.
Okay.
And so how we manage that might be the fact that we've got to look very carefully at where we build houses and how we build houses. And I don't think by even if they did increase the wall rise at a huge expense and at some risk, both to the World Heritage Area, which would cause a lot of international attention, and that would not necessarily address the problem. So I think it's been a bit of a misnomer. It's been an easy one to try to address a more complex problem of selling off and allowing building in a floodplain, which is a bit dumb. Queensland did the same thing. Remember the big fires in big floods in Brisbane was caused by the same problem of selling off land, building in a big floodplain area, and you get this major flooding coming in and houses are underwater.
Indeed. And I can't let you go without discussing the development of the second airport in Western Sydney, expansion of the Great Western Highway as well. How's that going to affect the World Heritage Area of the Blue Mountains?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think it's going to be any significant environmental impacts. The only issue is noise, which could have effect on nesting birds and other animals. So there could be a impact in that, but not a great deal. We've done some work on this, there's been other research. So the airport's more likely to be impacting upon the people living in the region. And I think that has a twofold factor. A, it'll create a major growth area in that area around Penrith and western Cumberland Plains area. And that will be an economic driver of the region. It will create a lot of tourism, which could go, instead of heading straight into Sydney, could see a lot of tourism going up into the Blue Mountains. So the infrastructure and capacity of the Blue Mountains to handle that may be an issue. I think it's planned properly. It can be a benefit. If it had better rail systems and public transport, that would be an advantage to the community. I think we're seeing, and it's quite interesting that the city of the Blue Mountains is now in the Greater Sydney region. So suddenly the Blue Mountains is now part of the Sydney region and the planning for that. So I think we're seeing a sort of is this just going to be a dormitory suburb for the growing Penrith region and driven by the airport and the expanded industrial centre there? Those will put pressure on an area which is interesting because when the World Heritage listing was put forward, many of the people on the committee who are assessing this saying, hang on, you can't have a natural World Heritage Area with a city running through the middle of it.
Mm.
And the council came and said, no, we will protect the buffer zone between the where the council's LGA is and the beginning of the World Heritage Area. We'll protect that and we'll make sure that there isn't too much urban development. Now, only a few years ago, there was a big push to increase density of housing. The Blue Mountains luckily got off the hook on that because they argued that this was a condition of the World Heritage Agreement, and they do break those agreements, then there'll be trouble internationally. And so we don't know yet. I mean, there will be a greater pressure for housing, and what types of housing? Will it be urban sprawl or will it be sort of medium density housing? That could allow a larger population but not impact on the environment.
Yep.
And also in that area, there's a large array of upland swamps, and these are critical and endangered ecosystems, both at the federal level and also at the state level. And so they are impacted by intensity of runoff as well. So there's a lot of environmental management issues.
There's tons of stuff going on there. Well, in good news, you can get 2SER all the way to Mount Victoria.
Yes, that's it.
So I do.
Anyway, it's a beautiful place, and I think we've got at a state and at a national level, we need to protect it. And it just can become a major challenge now with this increase. And we're looking now possibly at an El Nino coming through at the end of the year. We may see more fire coming through. So it just means that as a government, we have to put more effort and resources into what we thought was just something, fencing it off and leaving it. With an option. I don't think that's any longer. We now have to manage these areas.
Exactly right.
That's the problem.
Dr. John Merson from the Board of Directors at the Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute. If people want to donate and find out more, the website is bmwhi.org, the acronym of Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute. I really appreciate your time this morning, Doctor.
A pleasure.